Welcome to The Laneway,
where we delve into all things health, fitness, lifestyle, and sustainable fat loss.
But coming at you with an unbiased, educational, and hopefully entertaining approach.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 27 of the number one health and fitness podcast, as recorded in a unit while a French bulldog plays with himself. During this episode of Shit Chat, we talk about our Sydney app meeting. We talk about the exercises we get up to film at 2:30 a.m. We are doing Sober March because Ash is nearly become an alcoholic. And we touch on what we're doing this year. Getting into the Q&A section, question number one, I don't like tracking calories. What else can I do? Question number two, I'm stuck in starvation mode. What can I do? Two good questions. Question number three, at what point would you consider a bulk or a build? Question number four, what is the best thing to do on a rest day? And question number five, I want to build muscle while training for a 10K run. How would I program this? Did you push record on the camera?
Oh, I haven't yet, but I'm gonna. This is so weird. I feel like, I don't know what I feel like. I feel
did
like,
you put it on like airplane mode in case somebody calls?
Oh, good question. No, I didn't, you but could, I will right now.
There you could go. Face it away from you.
Boom. What do you mean?
Like turn it the other way.
What do, I don't know. What
like you see how you're sitting there staring at yourself?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Don't mind staring at myself. But if it's freaking you out, man.
No, it's not.
No?
I like looking at myself. I'm joking.
I knew you would say that.
I'm joking.
Welcome back to another episode, family.
How are we all? Everyone having a good day?
Yeah, I'm having a good day. You having a good day?
Yeah. I'm having such a great day.
It started at 2:30 a.m. Actually, yeah, it did. The alarm went off at 2:30 this morning. Big bam boom, up and at it, out of the door by 2:49. Yeah, so good. So we filmed. So I think last week we must have recorded this on, must have been Wednesday, and I think it came out on Thursday. So we hadn't actually done this yet, but we might have spoken about it last week. We're in the middle of recording all of the exercises for our app. And so last week we got to the gym and we got there about 3:08 a.m. and there was four people in the gym. I was shocked. I was like, surely not, you know. Anyway, we got through 33 or 35 exercises filmed. And then today I counted them just before we got on this live, just to give you guys a bit of a live update. And we recorded 30 today on the nose. So we got quite a few done. So pretty good. Worth getting up early for it, yeah? Actually, last week we went and did the exercises, came back, went through Macca's drive-thru. It was so weird. It was like 4 a.m. because by the time it comes to 4 a.m., I know this is going to shock a lot of people, but the gym was packed.
Proper packed.
Like we couldn't record anymore. So
it was like 4 p.m.
That's exactly what it was like.
Yeah.
And I was like, my goodness, don't you guys have a bed to be in?
Mm.
You know, like I've got to be here and film exercises. Surely you've got somewhere to be other than the gym. Anyway.
People just getting it done, bro. People, I think it's so good. Like obviously this is they might have two choices.
Yes.
Don't train.
Yes.
Or train at 4:30, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And because some of the people that were in there were not newbies to training.
No.
They were jacked and tanned.
Proper.
Proper jacked, like WBFF style jacked,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, look at you, men and women, just getting it done. Like just the mindset, they're obviously like, well, it's got to be done.
Yeah.
My schedule is, you know,
yeah,
fuller than a wife on an anniversary, and they're like, this just has to happen. And so they just get in and make it happen.
It's pretty cool, to be honest. Somebody asked me yesterday, how I don't know how you can get up at that time of day to do the exercises. And I'm like, you know how? I don't have a choice.
Mm.
Like when you don't have a choice, that is your only choice. Then yeah, you'll find a way to make it happen. And well, if it means that you're getting up early, then so be it.
The other option might be buying or renting an industrial unit, buying a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of equipment, setting up our own gym space just to film content.
Yeah.
And while that would be sick, that would be my preference.
Yeah.
If we had our own gym space, that would be magic. Not as a commercial gym, just to shoot content and possibly rent out for other people to shoot content. That would be magic, and it may or may not be on the wish list. That's one option.
Yeah.
You know, we might be talking about probably $500,000 setup plus the unit.
Yeah.
Compared to free.
Well, yeah.
We already pay our gym membership.
Yeah.
So it's not actually – we would have that regardless. So, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's a no-brainer. Like it makes so much sense from – a logistical perspective, but also from a financial perspective, you know, like
for now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
if you stop spending so much money on like alcohol and rippers and stuff, we can probably, you know, that's probably the point in time in which we can transition to that money being invested instead of just torn up and on a Saturday night.
Is that what it is? Is it?
I'm assuming so. I haven't checked the bank statement, but I'm assuming that's what it is.
Well, how's this? We started Sober March.
Mm.
We've never done anything like this before. I think we might have even mentioned it last week. We're a week in. And how do you feel?
I feel amazing. I contributed to – I tied in, so I'm doing carnivore.
I don't think you are. You can't call that carnivore, babe.
I hadn't finished.
Okay.
Carnivore. Plus carbs and fats. No, wait. Fat's already in carnivore because there's fat in meat. So carnivore plus carbs.
Yeah. Plus.
Sugar.
Carnivore plus plants and.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So basically you're just eating meat and normal stuff.
Yeah. So I did at the start of the month, I actually said, oh, I could nearly do a month of carnivore. Now, for me individually, when it comes to named diets, there's a few different ways to look at this in terms of what you're trying to get out of a diet. When you look at generally, like in a lot of cases, when people do carnivore, keto, whatever, in a lot of cases, they're doing it for, they're using a tool for the wrong outcome or result. So people use carnivore for fat loss. And while there may be an indirect fat loss response to carnivore, aka instead of having, you know, and I'm just going to give an example. At lunch, you might have a steak plus everything else on your plate, plus chips, plus dessert, plus drinks, plus whatever. Instead, you just have the steak. Well, you've just entered a pretty decent calorie deficit and, of course, you're going to lose fat. You know, I wouldn't suggest it for fat loss. It would not be my go-to. However, there are uses for things like carnivore. For example, Jordan Peterson, who is a very well-known gentleman, has a daughter. Actually, she's probably just as well-known as him now, Michaela Peterson. And she had – did she have an autoimmune disease, which was it arthritis or something?
Rheumatoid arthritis, I think.
Which sounds not that bad. Like when you hear, if I were to say a serious autoimmune disease, you might picture something really bad. If I were to say rheumatoid arthritis, you're like, big deal, crack your knuckles, get on with it.
Yeah.
But I think actually her rheumatoid arthritis did fall into that severely debilitating day-to-day life. I think it was a very severe case. She was in constant pain, etc. From a teenager, she was on all kinds of medications. So she would take the first medication to try and help with, say, inflammation, but that would cause effects or side effects. So she would take another medication to try and offset that. She got depression and anxiety. So she had to have so before she knew it, she's on all these medications. She's a very unique case where by removing everything other than animal products. I don't actually even know if she eats all animal. Like, I don't know if she eats eggs and stuff. I just don't know. I know she eats meat. I'm pretty sure if I had to pick one or the other, I think she literally just eats meat.
Yeah, right.
I don't even think she eats like eggs and shit. Anyway, by removing everything, she removed all her symptoms. She now lives completely symptom-free with no medication. So I know that there are good use cases. And then keto can be used for
Cancer
and something else.
Yeah.
So there are good use cases for, you know, these kinds of, I guess, diets.
Mm.
They just get called a fad diet for fat loss. That's all. Because you're just removing calories, which puts you in a deficit, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, I did say to you, I think I have an autoimmune disease, right?
Mm.
And on three, no, we won't do that. Do you think I may have an autoimmune disease? 50-50.
I'm 50-50.
Okay, that means you don't think I do, which is fine. I get like a lot of autoimmune disease style symptoms, which are very linked to the way I eat. It might not be an autoimmune disease. Could be anything. I'm just trying to ham it up and get some sympathy here. But I get a lot of symptoms based on the way I eat and drink, right? Yeah. I can't eat and drink just how I want to. Otherwise, I'll feel a certain way. And so what happens is I have like – I get to a point where I do feel bad. It even impacts my mental health as well. I get to a point where I do feel bad and I'm like, oh, I hadn't realized – how much you slow, oh, I'll just have one cookie. No, I'll just have this, I'll have that. I can have whatever I want in moderation, but, you know, I enjoy eating shit foods. It's like a joy thing for me, right? Mm. You know, some people don't care about food, whatever. I love lollies.
Mm.
I love chocolate biscuits. I love all that stuff. But I can eat some of it, but I have to have it in moderation, otherwise I feel like shit.
Yeah.
I just feel sick and no energy, moody, irritable.
Not sick in a good way either.
Nah, not as sick. So I have to moderate it. Anyway, I said to you at the start of the month when we decided you'd been having too many cocktails, I was like, I could do carnivore for a month, you know, because what happens is I kind of semi-forget, like even yesterday we're on the plane.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even my fault. Cookies make their way into my life.
They do.
I live my life and cookies roll into my mouth. They make their way into my life, right? We're there on the plane yesterday and we had pre-ordered, you got me a chicken wrap.
Yeah.
Chicken salad wrap and you had a sandwich. And the guy comes up, he goes, here's your chicken wrap, here's your sandwich, all good. And off he goes. Well, half an hour later he comes back, he goes, oh my God, you guys, I don't know why. He goes, you guys have a $10 voucher.
Yeah, with the particular flexible flight, they give you $10 vouchers now.
Oh.
It's just like a thing when you have a flexible flight. So I got us a flexible flight so that if we needed to change the time or whatever,
yeah,
they give you a bonus reward.
I wish I knew that. I would have moved our flight back yesterday and spent more time in that unit.
Well, I actually didn't even think about that, but yeah.
Anyway, so the dude comes up, he goes, listen, baller, you got $10 to spare. That to spend, right? Let's go bananas. And I'm like, ugh. And he's got the cookie. He's pretty much might as well be slapping me in the face with the cookie packet, right? And I said, I'll just have a fresh orange juice. And he's like, that won't do it. Still more. And I'm like, oh, I'll get Ash whatever she wants. And you go, oh, I'll get cookies for Casey. Actually, do you give him the cookies?
Yeah.
I'll get cookies for Casey. So he gives a packet of cookies. So I've got a juice and cookies. He goes, you've still got more. I said, all right. Fine, give me the cookies.
You twisted my arm.
You twisted my arm. So he gives me the cookies and he goes, you still got more. We actually bought a pack of cookies for the flight chick.
Yeah, for the air hostess.
Yeah. Anyway, so these cookies make their way into my life, right?
You went to open the packet.
I went to open the packet and you're like, what are you doing? And I said, what? I'm about to eat my cookies. And you're like, no. You've been in far too good of a mood and far too energetic to ruin this with aeroplane cookies. You took the cookies off me and stuffed them in your handbag. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I just live my life and before I know it, I'm like, why do I feel so shit? Oh, you had aeroplane cookies, you had a crispy, and that's how life goes for me, right?
You had a sausage roll for breakfast.
Hey, that's part of my shred. I don't intentionally go out like the cookie monster trying to steal people's cookies. I just live my life and cookies enter me.
Well, they didn't yesterday because I pulled the handbrake.
Thank goodness.
Because, yeah, you have been in – like you have been so energetic and, yeah, you have been in a brilliant mood constantly. Like this morning when we got back after our 4 a.m. like we got back at 4. Brad's like, oh, I think I might stay up. I'm like, I'm actually going to just have a nap now so that I feel good for the rest of the day.
Mm.
And you said to me, nah, next week I'm not doing that. I'm just going to stay up.
Well, I thought we could do this we're on our way home and I was like, well, what are we going to do now? It's 4 a.m. I'm awake.
Yeah.
I was like, let's just rip through McDonald's, get a coffee, and we'll do a podcast. I was going to do this podcast at 4 a.m.
Well, yeah. Part of me was like, this is a small two-bedroom apartment and Casey and Mum are asleep. And yeah. I just didn't want to wake them up.
That's but fair. Anyway. Yeah.
But, yeah, like handbrake pulled because you've been – you have like – you haven't completely cut it out. You've had like a couple of things here and there. It's been so minimal.
But what I was going to do is what happens is because I don't have this clear rule, I do find that, you know, cookies roll into my mouth. Whereas if I'm like, oh, I'm only eating carnivore – I'd be like, he'd be like, cookies, and he's shaking them. And I'd be like, oh, bro, I'm only eating carnivore. I can't have it. Are they carnivore cookies? You know?
It's so bittersweet, though, because you can't live like this forever and you can't cut out things forever. So there will be a point where you get to where you're like, well, I flippin' want a cookie.
Look, it is definitely, I have noticed for me, accumulative.
Yeah.
In the sense that if I can just go for a week or two, and just extremely minimal, you know. I don't think I've had a biscuit in 7 days.
Yeah.
For example, I haven't had dessert. I haven't, you know, I'll just eat 3 meals a day and that's it. And I feel like after a couple of weeks, I can then have a cookie here or there or, you know, something.
Just to peel it back, do you think? More so than just going ham, but just to be a bit more mindful.
I don't know. And I just feel like, it's a juice cleanse, you know. I feel like my liver is rehabilitated.
It's not doing that, dear. It's not doing that. But I think like sometimes it is good just to, if you feel like, man, I just need some more nutrients in my life. Like, you know, when you go on holidays and you just want to come home and you just want to eat veggies.
Yeah.
Because when you're on holidays, veggies are few and far between. The food's a lot more processed and you feel like trash. Even though that you might be sticking to your protein and your calories, the quality of the food might be on the lower end and you feel like rubbish. I think sometimes, like for you in particular, because you notice such a big difference, whereas I don't. I could have a complete and utter rubbish day of eating with no nutrients and feel quite normal.
Mm.
But for the majority part of the time, I love my fruits and veggies and it's a big part of my diet. Plus, I'll have, you know, a mint slice after dinner or something. I'm off the Tim Tams, guys.
Oof.
Off the Tim Tams.
I feel like I need to be given a bit of praise here for getting you onto the mint-style chocolate treats.
I love mint. I'm a mint fan.
I've been a mint fan forever.
I love mint maxi bonds, mint drumsticks. Cornettos aren't a thing anymore.
What do you mean?
I have not seen a Cornetto in the shops for I can't remember how long. A long time.
It's funny you say that because actually they're today's sponsor.
Drumsticks overtook and now there's just drumsticks, no Cornettos. I don't know if they're gone.
Who came out first, drumstick or Cornetto?
I don't know.
Do you reckon if Cornetto was first, they had the shits that drumstick copied them?
I think so. I think if I'm just – this is pure guess. I reckon Cornetto came out first.
Because they're the most well-known.
And drumstick took the market share and Cornetto was like, we're out. I reckon I'm going to Google it after because I want to know.
So you never know. I was listening to a podcast the other day where they were speaking with the person that created Belvedere Vodka.
Right.
And he started like there was no premium vodka before him. There was no $1,000 a bottle at clubs with sparklers. You know, there was no rock stars, you know, and he created the first premium, you know, very expensive, very exclusive. Oh, Kanye's having, you know, Belvedere. I better get Belvedere. This, that. And Grey Goose was a competitor that they both had drink companies before. And then so whoever owned Grey Goose was like, oh, we're going to bring out Grey Goose vodka. Well, you want to know a funny story? Grey Goose copied Belvedere. Belvedere sued Grey Goose and won. They said, yes, the style of the bottle or the logos, whatever, is too similar to Belvedere. You have to change it. Not only do you have to change it, Belvedere gets to make your logos and your bottles and stuff.
What?
Yes. So Belvedere's marketing and design team made the Grey Goose bottle, but they did too good of a job and Grey Goose overtook Belvedere.
I actually think that Grey Goose is a nicer looking bottle.
Thanks, Belvedere. So
that's like crazy.
If I had to guess which was first, I would have guessed Grey Goose.
Mm.
But there you go. So maybe, I don't know, could it happen with Cornetto on drumstick?
Maybe. Maybe it is.
You know what we need? You know on the Joe Rogan podcast, they have Jamie to look stuff up.
Oh, yeah. We need Cheryl.
We need Cheryl.
We need to get this lazy.
We'll be like, hey, Cheryl, search up who came out first between drumstick and Cornetto.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what we need.
We had our not our first app meeting, but our first official, like, what would you say, design slash?
It was development, really.
Development, yeah. Yes.
So that happened, was it yesterday? No, it was the day before. And my goodness, it was. It's so funny because we walked away and I was like, oh my lordy lord. I was like, that was so like brain numbing. And Brad said to me, he's like, oh, it's exactly what I expected. It was nothing like what I expected. I expected pretty designs and people with pencils and creative teams. It wasn't. It was like really unpacking all of like the data side of things, like really the back end that no one even sees. So we really had to transfer all of the stuff that is in our brains to the man, the guy that does all the ones and zeros virtually.
Like we have to download or upload from our melon to his melon.
Exactly. And there is actually so much more than you think. Like you're like, oh yeah, cool, this is how a magic spreadsheet works. But it's not. It doesn't just work like that. There's so many like ifs and buts and if this happens, then that happens. And then if that doesn't happen, then this happens. And then hang on, we've got an update. Cheryl's come through.
Well, this says, I've just Googled it and says something different. We've got Cheryl in the background. Cheryl, can you just yell out what you've got there on the paper?
Well, it says drumstick was 1963.
Yeah. So Cornetto was first.
Right.
Well, I'm just looking at a website here and it's very interesting. At the 1904 World Fair, an ice cream maker ran out of bowls. He asked a nearby waffle vendor to roll waffles into cones, turning them into finger food. In 1928, the Parker brothers took this great invention even further by adding chocolate coating topped with nuts. One of the brothers' wives said it looked like a fried chicken leg. Thus, drumstick was born. Today, Nestle drumstick. Took 35 years to get to Australia. So that says 1928. The Streets ice cream competitor to drumstick has a much shorter history. The Cornetto has an Italian-sounding name for a reason. The cones were first produced in 1976. So this website says
something different.
The opposite.
Well, I'm confused now. But what I want to know is Cornetto still a thing? Because I, Woolworths, Coles, the IGA, the 7-Eleven next door, they don't have them. I can't get myself a mint drumstick. Oh. I mean, Cornetto, sorry. I can only get, and they taste different.
I just checked. So, sorry, Cheryl just looked into this. And, yeah, you can still get them at Woolworths, Cornetto.
Well, maybe they're actually really popular.
Oh, hang on. It does say out of stock.
Yep, see? They don't have them anymore. Haven't seen one for a very long time.
No.
There you go. You learn something new every day.
I hope they pay the sponsorship fee for this episode.
It's inconclusive though.
But the whole thing is inconclusive.
We don't know. It's like two things say the opposite.
Yeah.
Say what happens when you research.
Yeah.
That's why you got to research with proper research. Anyway, back to the app. Brain numbing. So what you expected, not what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I walked out of there and I was like, don't anyone talk to me. I was like, I have no words or brain capacity left.
Which I was pretty, you know, I wasn't complaining. I was like, I don't even have to wear my earplugs today.
It's Because that's what you usually do.
You know?
Walk through the airport. Brad's got his AirPods still in. And I was like, bro, you can't do this.
I'm in airplane mode. You know? It's so shit. The whole air travel is fantastic because it takes 2 hours what would otherwise take 10. So yeah. I'm very grateful. However, you know, it's still shit.
It's not enjoyable.
Right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's different, I feel like, if you're headed to a snow holiday. I'll high five the person selling Cornettos at the grocery. You know, like, I'm going on a fantastic holiday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When you just go to Sydney, it's like, oh, my God.
It's
especially after our flight's cancelled.
And then our car was cancelled.
Yeah, our car was cancelled.
It's quite the ordeal.
We were literally... So when you go to Sydney Airport now, you used to be able to rent cars at the airport. So you walk out of the airport doors and across to like the giant car park in the airport, and that's where all the rental cars were. They don't do that anymore. They're doing some construction or something of that giant building, and now you have to catch a bus, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Feels like an hour.
It does. It's at -6 degrees, the bus as well.
Yeah, bro.
It's freezing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ice cubes were like hanging off my eyelashes by the time we got off. But anyway, so yeah, 10 minutes.
You catch the Antarctica Express.
Exactly.
It takes a month. There's sled dogs and reindeer.
Yeah.
You get to the rental car place and it's just a giant car park really with chain wire style fence. Like,
yeah.
That's the rental car place. Like, you're picking it up probably from their, like, depot kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah.
They probably just chucked the building in and gone, all right, well, if we can't have them at the airport, bring the airport to us.
Which is what they've done.
And we got there and they cancelled our car. And so we're in the middle of kind of nowhere a bit. Like, still somewhere, but also kind of the middle of nowhere with... No car. Oh, shit. What was that?
No, I just dropped my water.
With no car, no like, we just didn't know.
sorry about that, guys.
Shut the door. Just kind of stuck. So the next place had no cars. The next one, luckily, they were like, cool as a cucumber, gave us a free upgrade and everything.
Yeah, they were pretty good. Actually, and then we got the free upgrade in the room. As well, which was like
best.
A ridiculous upgrade.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, like your, we're here for our honeymoon. Oh, yeah. My goodness, we'll really take care of you.
Yes.
We didn't ask, and she only just really mentioned it in passing it when she was handing me the key.
Yeah.
We're like checking in, this, that. Something weird happens, right? I think that people like looking at Ash more than they like looking at me.
I don't know why.
The room's booked under my name.
Yeah.
I approach the counter.
Mm.
I hand over my license and my card. So I've booked under Bradley Lane. Obviously, you know who I am. Here for my room. They go, yep, no worries. It takes 10 hours to get your room.
Fix yeah, that, I still by the don't way. Know why that happened.
Anyway, she looks up at you and she goes, how many keys? And I look at you and I'm like, and I look back at her. You're not in front of me. It's not like you've pushed your way in. And
no.
The lady's like, oh, this, you know, this chick must own this bloke. I need to deal with the owner, you know, or the manager.
Yeah.
And I look at you and you're like, two? I'm like.
I actually said one.
Oh, did you say one?
I said one. But anyway.
She gave us two.
I know. She wasn't even listening, but she was looking at me.
And I was like, okay. And what was the next question? She asked another question as well.
And then she looked at me.
At you. And I'm like, do you two know each other? Am I missing
something? It actually happens all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
And I don't like, I'm not like front and center, like ready to have the conversation. Kind of just like hanging back, just being like, all right, I'm ready to go to bed now kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. It always happens. I'm not sure. I still don't know why.
I'm like, look, don't get me wrong. If I had to pick someone to look at and talk to, it would be you.
Yeah.
However,
to the person that approached you, yeah, maybe. Yeah,
weird. Anyway, so as she gives us the key, she goes, oh, and I've given you a complimentary upgrade. I'm like,
oh,
thank you so much. That's lovely. We get up there, upgrade, all right. Holy shit.
It was like a full apartment.
Yeah.
With like full, is it 180 degree views? Like
I think it was like 380 degree views.
I don't think that's a thing.
There was so much view. It was more view than you could view.
Yeah. It was actually a lot of view. It was shockingly beautiful. We had purchased the cheapest room available because we were not even going to be in that for 12 hours.
Mm.
So it was pretty crazy. So yeah. We went from literally the shit house to the penthouse.
Oh.
What?
We're 29 minutes in.
Oh, yeah.
Were you going to release what we're doing or do you want to save it till next time?
We'll have to save it till next time because we've been talking too much.
Jibber jabbering.
All right. Let's get into the questions.
You want to get into questions?
Yeah.
All right. Let's
question
do it.
Question number one.
Do you want to do it as...
Question number one. I don't like...
Hang on. That might freak people out.
Question number one. I don't like tracking calories. What else can I do?
There are more options than just tracking calories. Regardless of your goal, whatever your goal is, whether it's fat loss, muscle growth, whatever, there's two things you need to match. One is training, one is nutrition. You do have to match your training and your nutrition with your goal. And there's more than one way to skin a cat, and I'll explain it and I'll give some answers and some context. However, I want to probably dive into the I don't like tracking part.
Mm.
Like I'll get into the what else can I do part, of course. But let's like start with the I don't like tracking. Nobody starts tracking calories because it's fun. Like you download an app on your phone, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Pornhub, whatever it is, usually because it's fun or you're going to get some enjoyment out of it. So these things are fun. We don't download MyFitnessPal as a fun thing to do. So it's normal if you feel like, oh, this doesn't feel fun, this is normal. Personally, and I'll give you an example, I hate tracking finances. I really dislike it. But, and here's a perfect example, we're about to spend a few $100,000 on an app this year and we need to make sure we can pay for it. So our sacrifice is either don't track our finances and possibly be in a position that our app fails because we can't fund it, or track our finances and know we'll hit our target, which is to be able to fund the app. Which sacrifice do we choose? What's the outcome I want? Do I want the app? Yes. Okay, what am I prepared to sacrifice? Honestly, nearly fucking anything, including tracking finances. Fat loss is the same. Ask yourself, how bad do you want it? If you honestly won't sacrifice tracking your calories, then you do not want fat loss bad enough. Now, I know that might sound a bit harsh, but if you can't do something you don't feel like doing, and that's all it is, you just don't feel like it. Maybe because it's hard, maybe because it shows you actually how you've been eating. You've been eating too many mint slices and cookies. But if you don't want to do something because you don't feel like it, then you don't want the outcome bad enough. Most people won't be successful in business because it's hard. You have to do things you don't feel like doing. Fitness entrepreneurs are honestly or often the best entrepreneurs because they've trained through progressive overload at 4 o'clock in the morning when they don't feel like doing it. They know how to do hard things. They know how to push past doing something that feels hard, but doing it anyway. We already said this morning, got up at 2:30 a.m. to film videos for our new app. If there's fucking one thing I hate other than tracking finances, it's getting up early. I just don't like it. But I do it because you know what I would hate more? Not having an app because I didn't feel like getting up early. I can wrap a billion different excuses around it makes me tired for the rest of the day. I don't sleep the night before. I get anxiety thinking about it, whatever. But really, it's just I don't feel like it and I allow my feelings to dictate what I do. Instead, I do what needs to be done regardless of my feelings. And here's the best part. You know what you remember forever? You know what brings you actual joy and actual happiness? It's not sleeping those extra couple of hours. Those extra couple of hours that we missed out of sleep, that's not actually what brings joy or happiness. Do you know what time you got up last Tuesday?
No.
No idea. You'll never remember. What time did you get up last Thursday?
2:30 a.m.
I remember because we got up to shoot videos. And I will remember that forever because it was hard, but we did it anyway. And those are the times we'll actually look back and say, oh my God, can you believe we used to get up at 2:30 to film those 200 videos? Same with fat loss. You will look back with joy and be like, OMG, I fucking did that. Regardless of whether you feel like tracking, and in fact, the fact that you don't feel like tracking is probably even more reason to do it because you'll get even more joy on the other side.
Look, I couldn't agree more. I think there is, like Brad said before, did you say there's so many ways to skin a cat?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
Isn't that a horrible...
It is. It's a horrible... Like, I have said it before, but I usually say there's so many different ways to cook an egg because there is. There's many different ways to cook an egg.
Oh, you got scrambled?
Scrambled. Boiled, you got poached.
Fried.
Boiled eggs, fried eggs. Yeah, raw. Absolutely. If you want to have a raw egg, go omelet. For it. Yeah.
Did we say omelette?
No. But look, heaps of different ways to cook an egg. And tracking calories is a tool, of course, but... You know, at the end of the day, I think if everyone wants to know how to lose fat and everyone wants to know how to do it quickly and everyone wants to know how to do it the easy way, you know what the easy way is? Bloody tracking your food. Like if we look at all of the different ways that all have the same principle, every different way to lose fat, whether you go carnivore, cut out carbs, whether you track your food, whether you follow a meal plan, the principle is exactly the same. Every option is equaling a calorie deficit. It's the method that's different. The method I'm using today is tracking my food. The method I'm using today is going carnivore. The principle is still exactly the same. So you can't beat the principle. You can't cheat the principle. That still remains the same, but we've got to choose the way that's going to be the easiest for the longest period of time. Going carnivore, awesome. It's quick, it's fast, it'll get you the result that you want. However, you're not, now hand on heart, unless you're Michaela Peterson, you're not going to eat meat for breakfast, lunch and dinner and snacks every single day for the rest of your life. There's no way. Because what happens when it's Cheryl's pool party, or what happens when it's, you know, Betty's birthday or Brad's wedding? Like, what are you going to do in those instances? Or what are you going to do if you just feel like a Tim Tam today? Or you're just going to stop eating your carnivore today, have your Tim Tam, and then you're going to get to a space where you're like, oh, I miss that so much. And it becomes more and more and more until you're not carnivore anymore. And then you've gained 10 kilos in that time. It slowly happens, so you don't realize it's actually happening. And then you're like, holy moly, how did I get here? So there's so many different things to consider in that sense. But tracking your food allows you to have both that same principle of a calorie deficit and enable you to lose fat. The other part to it is you don't have to give up anything in the process. You have a very good understanding of nutrition, which I would say 90%, even more, probably 95% of the world's population has zero idea about nutrition. We watch a lot of YouTube, like traveling families and stuff like that. And I must admit, like, they're like, I watched somebody the other day literally have avocado dip and crackers for lunch. And I'm like, there is absolutely no protein in that. Like, if people had an idea about nutrition, which you get from tracking your food, you're going to automatically make better decisions for both your health, like your physical health, but also your mental health. You will include soul foods. You will include whole foods because you know, you will understand the importance it is to your body and how it's going to make you feel, similar to how Brad totally understands and he's like, you know, that shit food doesn't make me feel good. You'll automatically make better decisions. You will remove that fear that you've got around, oh, I can't have this, or I shouldn't have that, or oh, I screwed up and I had the glass of wine, I just couldn't hold back. You know, you'll remove a lot of that kind of stuff. And also in turn, you will achieve the goal that you have set out to achieve in a much quicker way, and you will keep it. So yes, I know it's shit. Yes, I know it's kind of scary. It's annoying, but everyone can do it. If you want a certain result, you're going to have to do something different to what you've done before in order for you to become the type of person that's capable of achieving that result that you want.
It really is the secret.
I agree.
Everyone always asks, everyone that doesn't know about it, is like, what's the secret? Yeah. What's the trick? What do I, you know? I don't know why I keep gaining or I can't lose. Yeah. The secret is understanding the value of calories.
Yeah.
Simple.
And it's not for the rest of your life.
Definitely not.
I think that's a common misunderstanding, is that tracking your food's not for the rest of your life.
Mm.
It is literally something that you do until you reach your goal, and then you obviously don't just go, I've reached my goal, I'm going to throw tracking in the bin, which sometimes happens for a lot of people, but you slowly learn then how to move to an intuitive approach of eating. You use what you learned through tracking your food, and those similar principles apply to intuitive eating, and then you move forward through that way. So
the other options are forever. If you have a meal plan,
yeah,
you're on that meal plan forever.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you stop that meal plan, you'll regain the weight. Totally. If you go carnivore to lose fat, you have to eat carnivore forever. You might not actually hit your fat loss goal.
Yeah.
Because you might not be in enough of a deficit. Then you have to eat like that forever to maintain what you've lost, and you can't lose anymore. Once you go back to how you used to eat, you'll regain the weight and probably more. Same with every single diet on the planet. If you're going to start it, don't start it unless it's something that you can see yourself doing for 2 years. Because I would say there's probably, how long do you think on average you need to track for before you can intuitively eat? I guess it's different for everyone.
It's going to be different for everyone. But if you do it properly from the start, I would say it will take at least a good 6 months of solid tracking for you to have a really good understanding. And I'm saying like solid tracking, weighing food, understanding it. Even like when you're scanning the labels of packets, like looking at the back of the packet and actually reading it, like having a proper solid understanding, it would take a good solid 6 months.
See, I would say it would take less than that. I think it would take 6 months to get to your knowledge level.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty high level.
Yeah.
I would say it takes a month. I think you learn 50% of what you need to know about tracking in week one.
Yeah.
1 week of tracking is enough for you to learn 50%. The second week you learn another 10%. Third week, another 10. The fourth week, another 10. So 70, 80. After about a month, you will know.
Girl math.
Roughly around 80% of what you need to know.
Yeah.
And then that final 20% just comes from, the first time I entered this, I entered a medium banana instead of 100 grams. I need to change that. The first time I entered that, I didn't realize that I scanned the back of the packet, but someone had made a wrong entry and it wasn't quite right. You know, that's where that last 20% over the next 5 months comes from, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. You ready for this next one?
Yeah.
This is fantastic question. I am stuck in starvation mode. What do I do?
All right. Little bit harsh, but honest. Starvation mode is a myth. It doesn't exist. I'm sorry. Sorry to break the news. What's actually happening though in this situation? Super simple. You lower your calories, so you essentially enter a calorie deficit and your body will start to lose weight. Now, what happens is you can't keep lowering your calories just once and then continue to lose weight forever. That's not how it happens. Your body will adapt, okay? In this case, this is what we refer to as metabolic adaptation. So if you think of it like a seesaw, you'll lower one side of the seesaw, which is you lowering your calories, okay? So seesaw is flat, you lower one side, that's you lowering your calories. And your body responds by adapting to this and automatically going and lowering the other side. So if you want to lose weight, you need to be in a calorie deficit. So you lower one side of the seesaw, okay, that's your calorie deficit. Slowly your body via metabolic adaptation will lower the other side. So you need to lower your side again. You need to reduce your calories again to be able to create a new deficit. And you do this continually all the way down until you actually hit your goal. This is called the law of thermodynamics. We often refer to this as calories in versus calories out. Starvation mode does not have a law, okay? Now, actually, it doesn't have a law or a study to show it exists. That's because it doesn't. if it did exist, then, you know, we would see kids in third world countries that don't have access to food. They wouldn't be malnourished, right? But they are. Same with prisoners of war. If starvation mode existed, then they'd be overweight. But neither of these are true, right? The difference is we have no control over what they're fed. They're in a calorie deficit and therefore they end up really, really skinny. Now, we get to the point that we're hungry, get super hungry, and we give up and we grab food because we have control over that part. And we blame starvation mode on metabolic adaptation.
The fact that there's still myths like this out there is good and bad. It's good because, you know, there's more people that can learn from us.
Yeah.
But it's bad because there must still be people out there preaching this.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how in this, in 2024, with so much access to information, how things like starvation mode still slip through the net.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think it's something that a lot of people blame. Like, it's the first thing that people blame all the time. Yeah. Is, oh, I can't lose weight because of starvation mode. And sometimes when I actually talk about metabolic adaptation, people go, oh, yep, I know what that is, that starvation mode. No, it's not the same. You know, like, I've often heard this same sentence. I reduce my calories so low.
Hitting on something?
Not that I know of.
No, can you hear it?
No.
I can slightly hear it. Dink, dink, dink.
Oh.
Don't worry, I'll cut the noise out. when we edit it.
I don't even know what I was up to. See, this is what's like living with Brad Lane and travelling around the country. He's like, what's that noise? I'm like,
oh my God.
I don't know. I was like, I can hear it now. I'm like, that's the corrugations that we're driving over, babe. Like,
you're talking about people think that starvation mode is metabolic adaptation.
Yeah, so the sentence that comes up all the time is, I'm eating hardly anything, and as a result, I'm gaining weight now. Like, I'm not eating enough, so I'm gaining weight. That's not how it works. If you're in a calorie deficit because you're eating less than your body burns, you will 100% lose weight. That's not what starvation mode is.
Mm.
So if you think back to the seesaw that I just spoke about, that should help you kind of visually, yeah, work it out.
I think because people enter a calorie deficit, they start to lose weight, and then the weight loss stops.
Yeah.
And they go, hang on a minute. I started eating 1,200 calories. I lost 5 kilos. I'm still eating 1,200 calories.
Mm.
Why am I not losing weight? I know. My body's in starvation mode. It's now impossible for me to lose weight. It's held on to all my fat. And in fact, it might even gain some fat magically.
Yeah.
I reckon that's what it is, where all it is literally adaptation.
Yeah.
Your body will always look for homeostasis.
Homeostasis.
Constantly. Even with your body temperature, I don't know if many people know this, your body temperature is like whatever it's meant to be, 36.6, whatever. It will very rarely actually be bang on that number. And if it is, it's just because you've caught it. It will go slightly down, then slightly up, then slightly down, based off how active you are, what you're doing, what the external temperature, whether you've eaten, all that sort of stuff. Your body temperature is constantly trying to get to homeostasis.
Homeostasis.
Yeah. Yeah. It is constantly trying to find that, and which is just balance, which is just neutral.
Yeah.
That's where your body wants to live. And that's exactly the same with calories. If you lower them, then you'll lose some fat, you'll lose some muscle, your metabolism will slow down. Your metabolism slows down to try and stop you from dying. It will do that to stop you from dying.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Question number three. At what point would you consider a bulk or a build?
If you haven't listened to the episode with Ez and Lani, I would highly recommend listening to that episode. There's the most recent two that we did with those two girls. Well, the most recent one is part two, which is at the end of their build. And part one of that is at the start of their build. And they both unintentionally took a slightly different approach to building muscle, like maximizing building muscle. However, they pretty much both they took the two approaches really available. So it really ended up good because for the listener, because you get to see two different approaches, two different styles and how they both went,
yeah.
And also their feelings from behind the scenes. It was very raw and very recent for them. So if you haven't heard that one, listen to that. But what would be the goal of a build? It would be if you're trying to maximize muscle growth. That's it. That is the reason that you would do a bulk or a build. Now, a lot of people listening to this are probably like, look, I'm not worried about maximizing. You know, I don't want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Don't worry, you're not. I've been trying for a long time. All my friends, we've all been trying, and yep. half of us still don't even look like we train. So muscle growth is hard, and people want more muscle than they realize they want. When you go to get Invisalign and they show you what your teeth look like now and what they look like at the end, you can actually make adjustments. And they did that to mine. They made adjustments to my end teeth. Actually, I didn't suggest it. The dentist is he a dentist?
Yeah, he's a Dr. Will, orthodontist.
Orthopedic surgeon?
No, that's not it. That's the neck guy.
Yeah, so he's a podiatrist, right?
No, that's the foot guy.
All right. He's a guy. Oh, no. So he actually, Invisalign sends him, this is what we recommend for the patient. Then Dr. Will looks at it and he says, look, we can go with what Invisalign recommends. This is how it look at the end. However, I actually recommend it doing this way, and this is how it will look at the end. If you could do that with your end physique, most people would choose more muscle. You don't realize it. You might think it's tone. You might think it's shape. You might think, you know, it's an athletic physique. You might think something like differently. However, given the dial, if your hand was on the muscle dial and the other one was on the fat dial, most people would turn that muscle dial, I reckon, double what they think. They think, I just want to be leaner or skinnier or a certain number on the scale. They don't realize. Well, a perfect example, I think, is someone like Lani. So many people go, oh, my God, goals, dream bod, right?
Yeah.
She has got a good amount of muscle mass. She's probably got double the amount of muscle mass as a lot of other females her size.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's a great example, and I feel like more people – yeah, all right. There's some people that's not their goal. That's fine.
Yeah.
But most people do want more muscle. So when is the right time to choose to build more muscle? This comes down to mindset, because the right time is right now. If you're lifting weights, you're getting your protein, and you're within your weekly calories, right now is the best time to be building more muscle. However, you might have a Bali trip that you mentally want to be leaner for. You might have Christmas. You might have scale sads. You might be all this is mental. This is all mental. If I had control over – if you know how I have control over what the dog eats. You know what I mean? If I had control over your food every day and you had no choice in this – I would get you to your physique faster than you would get you to your physique, because I wouldn't care about what the number on the scale says, because I know, oh, you went up 500 grams this week. Good news. That means we've got some muscle. You might be like, no, sad news, sad. No, unsubscribe. I don't want 500 more grams on the scale. Very sad. And if I was controlling your food, I would go, all right, we didn't gain weight this week. I'm going to increase calories again.
Yeah.
But mentally, it's very challenging. So the right time for you is when you're mentally in a position that you're comfortable with going through that journey over, I would say, a 12-month period from start to finish. So the bulk, the build, as well as the fat loss phase.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. It's funny how you say, if I could – if I controlled this, it would be – the outcome would be so different, because we have got people that stop themselves because of Bali or because of the birthday or whatever it is, and it's like, oh, I can't do that because of this. But that choice is a mental choice. Like, yeah. There's nothing physically stopping you from doing that. So if you had the steering wheel, you'd be like, yeah, cool, let's keep turning the steering wheel this way.
Yeah.
But then they're pushing the brake pedal and being like, whoa, yeah. What, you know, like it's just crazy. The whole journey that if anything, I think that just shows you, like, I hope that you just had a mind explosion that this whole thing is so mental.
Like, and the worst thing is whatever your event is, wedding, whatever,
yeah.
Let's say you got someone else's wedding, you're in the bridal party, whatever. All right, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Dave, we just went to his engagement party.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
What's his physique like at the minute?
If I can be completely honest, I don't know, because he had a suit on.
Exactly. No one knows. No one notices. Yeah, I don't know. Historically, what's his physique like?
He's a pitcher that – not pitcher. He is a firefighter calendar man.
Right.
So that physique, you know, yeah. The man, the puppies, the firefighters with the, holding the puppies, that's Dave.
That's Dave.
Yeah.
And you have no idea what his physique was like at his engagement party.
No, he had a suit yeah, on.
Because
I don't know.
No one looks at that chick. And yes, all right, a chick might be in a, what's it, off the shoulder thing or whatever they're called.
Yeah, is that one shoulder. One number? Shoulder,
a number with an open back, this, that. Right? I get it. However, nobody cares. You know who everyone cares about? Themselves. You are the main character in the movie.
Yeah.
It's your own movie. You're the main character.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. You care about your kid and your wife and, you know, the people close to you. Help. Oh, my God. The dog's masturbating. This is.
I don't know what it is about Frenchies, guys, but it's really disturbing. It's so disturbing.
This is just
Hang
quality
on.
Quality production here.
Not while we're doing a podcast, bro.
He's all right. Cheryl's come to kick in. No, he's all right. Ash said she doesn't mind it.
All right, keep going.
Yeah.
You're the main all right, character.
I know you care about people and yes, but you're the main character. If you were – when your time comes and, you know, longer around, let's say you're in a job, they don't keep that job open. They don't be like, oh, God, Cheryl is such a good chick. We all love her and miss her so much. We're not going to fill this role, you know.
Yeah.
At 2 weeks, your job's filled.
Yeah.
4 weeks, they forget you existed. Not yeah, really,
I'm sorry
but
to
nearly.
Laugh, but it's, yeah, I know what you mean.
My pop passed away. How long ago? 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Yeah, probably about a month ago.
Okay,
yeah.
Life's moved on.
Mm.
He's how old is he? 92.
Yeah,
92. He lived 92 years.
Keep talking. Don't look at the dog.
So distracting. He lived 92 years on this planet. He accomplished who knows what. He was in – I can't remember if he was in the RAF or the Air Force.
The Air Force.
He may have gone to war and killed people. He had my father. My father was in the army. He had me. Now I'm living this life. Like, look at all that he had. My nana's still around, same age. They've got other kids. He was retired. Like, his whole life, a lot happened in 92 years. He's forgotten about.
Yeah.
He's forgotten about. People don't remember. People forget. And that's the same when you might feel like whatever the event or whatever the thing coming up is the most important thing on the planet.
Mm.
But it's also important to all these other people as well because they're living their own life and they're focused on their own stuff too.
You're always – it's crazy. Like when you say that, right, you get to the end of your life, you're going to be remembered for the type of person that you are and whether you were happy or whether you were a miserable person sometimes, right? Like if you're literally going from diet to diet and you're miserable and you're sad and you withdraw from everything, but hey, you lost 20 kilos in 5 weeks. No one's going to remember that. People will remember the type of person that you were, the things that you did, how you treated other people. And I know you think it's the most important thing, but it's not.
Mm. And you'll realize that when you hit your goal. You're like, oh, my God, I'm at my goal.
Yeah.
And my life's sort of the same.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, all right.
No one treats me differently.
Some dude might come up with a gym here and there and go, oh, you got a nice squat. You know, yeah. But really,
realistically,
life's pretty similar.
Yeah.
All right. This is my question to ask.
Yeah.
Question number 4. What's the best thing to do on a rest day?
This is going to be such a long answer. I hope you guys are really prepared for this.
I'm sitting down.
Rest.
What about my cardio hit Boomba class.
You know what's crazy? People think that that's what they do on their rest days. I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody say, oh, yep, on my rest day, can I just go and do this HIIT class? Or can I go for a run? Or can I do, you know, what do you call it? Did you call it Boomba?
Is it Boomba?
Zumba. Zumba.
Zumba.
Or can I do Zumba? You know, on a rest day, guys, the purpose of a rest day is to rest. I think so many people get caught up with that fear of not doing anything, that fear of actually resting. When you rest, that's when you grow. When you're actually going and doing a HIIT class or going for a run or doing Pumba, Zumba, doing Zumba.
Is Pumba the pig?
Yeah. What's that show?
The Lion King.
That's it. I love The Lion King. When you're doing Zumba, it's not rest. You're not being.
Live audience.
You're not.
Hang on. Which one is it?
You're not resting.
Ash's mum is here in the background and this is what she's doing. And she's laughing as well.
All right. Can I keep talking?
Yeah. Sorry.
You're distracting me. When you are not resting, you're not recovering and you're not growing. And what are you doing? You want to do this journey. You want to grow muscle, but you're putting a roadblock in the way of you actually achieving the results that you want by not resting. I know it's scary. I hated resting. I felt I was like the type of person that would feel guilty for taking a rest day because you should be doing something. You weren't working hard enough. That was the kind of mentality that I was in.
You still hold that mentality when it comes to work.
I do.
Yeah.
I definitely do. Someone messaged me the other day. She's like, you're classic ADD. I was like, awesome. ADHD, sorry. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Thanks. I was like, awesome. Because when I have a full schedule, I feel really good and I try to add more.
Love being full.
Yeah. So when it comes to a rest day, guys, consider rest being a rest. Can you go for a walk? Of course you can go for a walk. Go get some sunshine. Put a podcast in your ears. You know, fill your brain with goodness. Get some sunshine on your skin. Like that will be really helpful. If you want to do things like yoga, go have like a recovery sauna kind of day. Of course you can do things like that. But please avoid doing the HIIT classes and the Zumba and all of that, the runs and that kind of stuff, because that is not rest.
When you train, you tear the muscle. So when you lift weights, you tear the muscle. That sounds bad, but that's exactly how it's meant to work, because when it heals, it grows back stronger and bigger. If you skin your knee, you know how you get like a scab forms? That scab is good because it's healing, it's repairing, the skin regrows. And then in as little as a few weeks, not only can you not tell that it was there, but you might end up with a stronger patch, you know, where that knee bit was.
Of what's it called? Like callousy kind of
bit
like.
Callousy.
Strong skin.
Yeah. You've got calluses on your knees, don't you?
No, I don't.
I thought you would have. So
I don't.
So now picture you skin your knee today and you're like, oh, goodness, I can't wait for that scab to appear. Then tomorrow you like skin it again.
Yeah.
And then the next day you skin it again, you skin it again, you skin it again. It's never getting a chance to actually repair and grow back stronger, which is what needs to happen so that when you skin it again, it's strong and it doesn't break as easy and it takes more resistance to break the skin. Same with your muscles. You need to lift weights. You'll tear the muscle. You need to give it time to rest, recover, and heal. And when it heals, it grows back stronger. So then you need to add more weight in order to be able to tear the muscle again. And this is called progressive overload.
Boom.
So rest is important. And as you said, I think you could write down like a list of what falls in the rest category.
Mm.
And if you want to do those things on a rest day, then it's fine to do. Like walking, sauna, ice bath, yoga, coffee with Cheryl, all those things, rest,
yeah.
Like nothing. You can literally do nothing if you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of options.
Yeah.
What's the dog up to?
I don't know. He's like, looks real sad. He's like, where are we going? Anyway, question number 5, last one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to build muscle while training for a 10K run. How would I program this?
It does depend. I think it's important to recognize that those two goals are competing goals. It's like saying I want to save money, but I want to spend every cent that I earn. How do I accomplish this? They're competing goals. Now, if you want to run a 10K and build muscle at the same time, if you're very advanced, if you're quite an advanced athlete and you've been doing it for quite some time, or if you're an extremely gifted athlete, then you are more likely able to do both at once because you spent time building up muscle, then building up cardio or running, then building, ideally one at a time, till you get to a point that you can do both. However, most of us, mere mortals, we need to pick one or the other. Are you going to drink water? Are you going to fill up water? You can't do both at once. You're going to shit or wank. You have to do one at a time. You're much better off doing one at a time. You're going to drive the accelerator on or the brake on. If you do both at once, you kind of get a bit of both, but not really an optimal amount of either. So cardio is catabolic. Catabolic means like to reduce, to break down. So that would be reduce muscle, for example. Lifting weights is anabolic. Anabolic meaning to grow, to increase. So if you're literally doing some stuff to grow and increase and at the same time to decrease, you kind of, you just, as I keep sort of saying, these are competing goals. It's like having a coffee and washing your sleeping tablet down with an energy drink. Like, you, hang on a minute, which one do you want? Do you want the energy or the sleep? Because they're both different things. You need to choose the energy or the sleep, complete that one, and then pick the other one. And that's what I would suggest with wanting to do a 10K and build muscle. How do you decide which to do first? What's your number one goal? Most people, look, I might be biased. I am biased. Most people, you can run anytime. Hitting your physique goal, whether it's muscle growth or fat loss, is not easy. Most people spend their whole life not happy with how they look. But you can run I could run 10Ks today. I'll probably be sore for a week, but I could do it today if I had to. And most people could probably get to a point of being able to run a 10K from the couch to 10Ks, probably 2-3 months. You can achieve that in 2-3 months. Mm. Do it when you're ready. Do it at the end. You know what? You build muscle, lose fat, you will feel better, have less chance of injury, go faster and recover better in your 10K than any other time. So whereas how long is it going to take to hit your goal? Well, depends on your starting point, but I know that if I look at all my group of friends, I'm in the fitness space. Not that many of them are happy with their physique.
Yeah.
And I'm in the space.
Mm.
So even the people that do look good, you know, sometimes they're not as happy with it. But I would get your physique sorted first, fat loss, muscle growth, whichever one it is. Once you have your physique sorted, that's the hard bit done. That's your foundation. That's your bricks and mortar. You can then go visit, do something else, come back, and always come back to that natural base.
I think yes, you are right, but I think something that annoys me. Here we go. Something that annoys me.
I feel like we're on like communication night. You know, like we need to sit down and okay, tonight's communication night.
Something that really irritates me.
I have some irritants on my list, and the first thing is Brad.
Yeah, no. The first thing is when we see a lot of social media influencers who are like, you can do both. And that's the message that they're sharing. Look at me, look at my physique. I can do both. But what we don't see is what it took to get their physique. And this comes back to what Brad just said. Build the physique that you want. And if you get there and you do it properly and you want to add in running, then go and do that. You know, like, you're already at your physique. If you need to make adjustments or tweaks at that point, once you start adding in running, once you get to your physique, then so be it. You're not that far away. But if you're somebody that's got 5 or 10 kilos, maybe even more to lose, and you start adding in running and you've got these competing goals and you're kind of just doing everything, it's kind of like, what's the saying? Like throwing shit at a wall and hoping that it sticks. Like, it's just not.
I've never seen someone throw shit at a wall.
If you look at the inside the lift, someone has been throwing dog poo in the what is it? Like the ground floor apartment, and they're not happy.
So I wouldn't be so happy. So the people have dogs. The dog shits on the balcony on the seventh floor. They pick up the dog shit. They throw it off the balcony. Well, the ground that it lands on is the grass that belongs to the ground level apartment. So the ground level apartment is getting dog shit all over their grass and their tiles from 19 floors of dogs.
It's terrible, honestly. Like it's bittersweet. Like you're like, who would do that? Like what kind of animal would do that? But reading it in reality, it's you can't help but laugh because you just – I think it's a shock. There's like shock of like who would do that, and then the anger in the note that's inside the lift. Like there's just so much anger in the note, and I'm like, I get it, but like how is this true?
The note written is 100% by the receiver of the shit.
Oh, 100%.
And you can tell they're trying to make it not be about them.
Yeah.
But they are so frustrated that you can tell they've pushed those keys hard when they typed up that note.
It's and delete disgusting. A lot like
backspace. I can't say that. Backspace.
Yeah, yeah.
Disgusting.
It is actually – I have my phone on aeroplane mode and it's ringing. Oh. Like actually, look.
It's not the pilot, is it?
There is an aeroplane, right?
Yeah.
And it's ringing.
I didn't think that was meant to happen.
How is that?
Maybe you have to turn it on. What is it? That focus style, sleep or whatever.
Yeah, but I put my phone on do not disturb.
I think aeroplane mode is if you're on an aeroplane.
It's on focus.
No, it's not. Tap that. And now you choose one and see how it's lit up. Yeah, focus is like, oh, do you want this mode? Like, but it's off. It's like a light switch and saying it's off. No, that's just a light switch. You have to flick it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think aeroplane mode, it just turns off your phone going to the telephone tower. Because that could bring the plane down. Whereas if you're on Wi-Fi, I think you still have...
You still can do it.
Well, now you can. You don't need to have telephone tower. Yeah, same makes as sense. When we're off-grid with Starlink.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah.
All right. That's the end of my... I don't know if I got that to the end, but yeah, that was pretty much
talking
it.
About shitting in an elevator.
Yeah, look, it was kind of just my little thing of just, you know, yes, you might... What we see dictates our decisions so many times, and because everybody is so prevalent on social media, you get a different message every single time that you're on there, and I see it all the time. I see like fit, strong individuals like, yep, in my running era, and that's cool for them because that's where they are at in their journey, but for individuals that are seeing that aren't at their goal, they think that that's what they should be doing in order to get to your goal. But you always have to ask, what did they do to get to their goal first before they started doing this?
Fuck me. That is such a good point. You know, yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah, no, you didn't?
Honestly, no. When we did our caravan trip last year, I would run here and there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If obviously with my shirt off.
Your little boobies bouncing around everywhere.
It's like an A cup, bro. I was pretty proud of that. If someone just started following me.
Yes.
And they saw me running.
Yes.
They might literally think, oh, okay. Oh, hey, how many times a week do you run?
Yeah.
And I might go, oh, look, I usually run once or twice a week. Oh, okay, cool, thanks for that. Yeah. I have to run once or twice a week if I want to have a chiseled physique like this guy.
Yeah.
Like just absolute... Sports Illustrated cover.
This specimen.
Specimen of an individual, yeah. bodybuilding.com individual. Whereas, no, I had to do the complete opposite of that for fucking years.
Yes.
To finally get to the point where I was comfortable taking my shirt off in public.
Yes.
And then because we didn't really have access to a gym, I would sometimes add a run in just for something to do.
Yes.
That's a good point, honey.
See? I think it's important to note that, and that is just not everybody has that ability to critical think like that. A lot of us think that we have critical thinking, but that is the true definition of being able to go, if this happens, but then, or why did this happen, or how did this happen? How did we get to this situation? What, you know, like that is really trying to uncover and peel back layers. And sometimes we just don't know what we don't know, and that's okay. We're not... freaking superhuman.
You're born knowing nothing.
We're born knowing nothing, and it's just sometimes it's learned experience. Sometimes we have to learn from mistakes, and that's in that case, it's not a mistake. It's a lesson learned. So, you know, that's why listening to the podcast, so we can help you, help give you the tools. Anyway.
Oh, shit, that was loud.
Louise, what was that?
My record getting scratched.
It was terrible.
What do you guys think? Was that terrible?
Oh.
No, okay.
That sounds like my alarm.
Oh, yeah, it does too.
That's my little alarm. Bird's cheeping.
Brings me, like, I get goosebumps now when I hear that. That's how much I dislike getting up early. Your alarm gives me the heebie-jeebies.
All right, guys.
Thank you for tuning in. If you don't follow me already at Train with Brad. Follow Ash at Ash_Lane and also at train.withash. If you have never left a review on our podcast, can you please do that?
We would love it.
It really helps us so much. If you're going to leave less than a 5-star, you
don't
know.
Bother.
Cool.
At least I'm honest.
On that note, thank you. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.